The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
We'll have our leadership group, and Logan's the captain of the team.
And look at that. We are back here at the start of the 2024 preseason for the 2024-2025 season. Man, I am glad to be back. And listen, I know it's preseason. There's still a lot to happen between now and the start of the regular season. But just the fact that we're going to be at the tank tonight, we are watching Sharks hockey. We are getting a look at some of the young guys. We are getting a look at some of the new ideas of the team. This is what I've been waiting for, because I think if there is one term that has defined the entirety of the offseason, it has been excitement. And that's an incredible juxtaposition after what was a, I don't even know if disappointing is the right word for last year. I think just hard, right? Everyone knew to an extent what they were getting into over the last couple of years with the Sharks. They knew that it was the quote unquote teardown as they were trying to get out of the cap purgatory situation, that they were trying to situate themselves for the future. And you can go into a year and know that you are facing a difficult situation. But when you're only winning 19 games, when you are the team with the most balls in the hopper to have the number one overall pick, that is what it comes down to in terms of really being a part of that reality. When people are talking about the goal differential, when you are in the midst of double-digit losing streaks, that's the reality of last year that was, I think, even if you were prepared for it, you still couldn't be prepared for it. And I think that getting through the entirety of the season for those guys and for the fans was difficult, because you invest so much time, you invest so much emotion, you invest money into watching and following and loving this team. And then you come to the end of the season and you wonder, was it worth it? Will it lead to the number one overall pick? Because there are no guarantees. And I think that by way of, I guess I won't even call it luck, but just probability, the Sharks did end up with the number one overall pick. They did draft Macklin Celebrini. They did make some pretty high caliber free agent signings. They did bring in fresh blood. Young players of drafts past have developed to the point where they are ready to potentially join the Sharks at the NHL level, and you start to feel that overall excitement. And last year, again, that was a very difficult season for everyone to get through, but now it is the dawn of a new era. The future is teal, is what we're looking at. I mean, I'm trying to compare this to other things we've seen in the Bay Area, and I often have, in the last months, have made the comparison to where the Warriors were when you first saw where Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and even back then Harrison Barnes, what they could turn into. Or maybe, you know, you go back to the Giants before they won their first World Series in 2010, when you saw, you know, the first glimpses of Tim Lincecum when he first came up, and Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey, and started seeing these names for the future. And I know we're talking about teams that won multiple championships, and I'm not trying to say that that's where the Sharks are headed, because there are no guarantees in any way, shape, or form, but you do feel that air of excitement. It's one thing to be bad, but it's another thing to be bad with players that make you excited for the future. And I think that last year you got some of that with William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund. You saw what those two were capable of, and also Mikael Granlund, even though he's an established veteran, we all fell in love with the Lund line. But you're starting to get these ideas of what the team has the potential to be. And if that team has the potential to be something, even if the results this year are not amazing, which I'm not expecting them to be, you still will have that much more of a fun time watching the games. You're looking at overall a roster that has the ability to be that much more competitive than they were a year ago and the year prior to that. And I think that, again, the general level of excitement heading into this season far exceeds where we were a year ago, even if I am not expecting the team to be winning a Stanley Cup anytime in the near future. It takes time. We're all excited. We're all relatively impatient, But ultimately, we are seeing the team situated in a way where we think they are on a course for success. And I think that is the most you can really ask for at this time. I know that I keep on telling myself, as much as I love the Sharks' moves, I look at Detroit. I look at Anaheim. And I say, these are teams that everybody got really excited about the path they were on and their rebuild and their teardown or whatever terms we want to use. But it hasn't converted yet. They are still in that process of trying to make their way back in to the National Hockey League's playoffs. And there are no guarantees. And it's not that I'm trying to pump the brakes on any of the excitement. I just know that there is nothing about what we are seeing right now that says, yes, these are all 100% the right moves, the right signings, the right guys. You can only have that opinion with hindsight. But when we have excitement where there was not previous excitement, I think that we can all agree that's a good thing to hold on to. And I, for one, continue to express that excitement as we head through the remainder of this training camp and preseason. And as we get into the start of the regular season, it's the NHL. It's the best league in the world. Even a team at the bottom can go out there and beat any team on any given night. Things happen, injuries, anything over the course of 82 games. And then obviously into the postseason, no one knows what's going to happen. But I think we all know we're in for one heck of a ride from now until whenever this upcoming Shark season does come to an end. So we do have some news out this morning, as you heard from Mike Greer on the intro, though. The Sharks have announced their team leadership group for the 2024-25 season. The release from our media relations department says that head coach Ryan Warsofsky announced today that Logan Couture will continue to serve as the captain for the Sharks, the title he has held for the team since the start of the 2019-2020 season. Mario Ferraro will continue to serve as alternate captain, and he will be joined by Barclay Goodrow, Mikhail Granlund, Luke Cunningham, and Tyler Toffoli. Ferraro will wear an A for all games, while Toffoli and Goodrow will serve as alternate captains for home games, and Granlund and Cunningham serve as alternate captains for all road games. Last season, Granlund and Cunningham wore the A for the Sharks at the end of the year in select games. And yeah, these are guys that I already have an extreme appreciation for. Even a newcomer like Tyler Toffoli, in my brief interactions with him, his attitude has been on point. And Barclay Goodrow, obviously, we saw him previously with the Sharks. He obviously scored one of the biggest goals in Sharks franchise history. And then we saw, obviously, over the last couple of years, what Mario Ferraro has been, his leadership on and off the ice. Same story with Luke Cunningham and Mikhail Granlund. I don't think how anyone can look at this and not be excited. I know there is the immediate reaction of, well, Logan Couture isn't out there on the ice. I can tell you from my own perspective, Logan being around at all the games, seeing him leave the dressing room after the games, even when he was just in a suit, he cares. His leadership means something. He went out there last year in six games. In six games, the Sharks went 4-1-1 in those six games that Logan Couture was on the ice. That does not happen by accident. You might say it's relatively anecdotal, but in my opinion, it does not happen by accident. Logan Couture, when he is healthy, is still one of the impact players in the NHL. And we all know that when he was in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the only active player that had more goals than him was a guy from Russia in Washington, who you may have heard of previously. And his name is Alex Ovechkin, one of the great goal scorers in the history of the league. So Logan Couture having the C on his sweater, even if he is not out there on the ice to start the season, it still means something to me. It still means something to the players in the dressing room. And I think that is the right choice. So with that, let's get into a little bit of the audio from the general manager of the San Jose Sharks, Mike Greer, when he was asked about Logan Couture's situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he is frustrated. You know, he's an athlete. This is something he's probably been doing since he's 3 or 4 years old. So I'm sure he is frustrated. But, you know, I think he's in a good frame of mind. He's attacking his rehab and doing the work he needs to do. And, you know, it's just not a situation or an injury that we can kind of rush or put a timeline on. Like, when his body tells him he's ready to play, then you know, he'll get back out there, and he's doing all he can to get back and help the group. I know he's excited by the young players and that some of the vets that we have brought in. You know, I know him and Goody are close and things like that, so I think he's excited and he's doing all he can to get back. It's just, you know, we're gonna have to kind of just stay the ship and not get excited if he has a few good days or a good week and he starts feeling great, not to get excited and get ahead of ourselves, to just kind of stay the course. And when he's ready, his body will let us know.
And I know that that is not the answer that a lot of people want. People want something more definitive. And I am sure there is no person more than Logan Couture that wants a definitive answer. But what this injury particularly presents is not something that is going to be definitive one way or another. Only Logan will know when he is ready to come back. And I hope that that is sooner rather than later. But at this place in time, we're just going to have to wait and see where things go. Now, like I alluded to earlier, I am not expecting the Sharks to win the Stanley Cup this year. Should they? Sure, I'll take it. But Mike Greer was asked, what are the expectations for this team, or what should the expectations be?
I mean, I'll leave that to you guys. I just want to see some growth with the group, be competitive nightly, and we'll see where that goes. You know, I think there was too many nights last year, especially where we were non-competitive and the games weren't close. So, I think we have a pretty good group in there. I'm not really setting expectations. I just want to see improvement and have us be competitive nightly.
And I think that's where I'd like the team to be as well. I don't need them to take a huge jump from the worst team in the NHL to cup contender. We, and I mean that as a collective, between you and I and Mike Greer and Ryan Warsofsky and the entirety of the Sharks front office, they need to be a better competitive team. They need to show a better product night in, night out. That is the first step to improvement. And I know that it's never specifically linear. Like, you don't just get incrementally better every year till suddenly you're winning a cup. And if people can show me examples of that, I'd like to see it. But I do think that you have to be in a place to take that huge jump. And I don't think the Sharks are there yet, but I do think they are in a place to be better than they were a year ago. More consistent, more difficult to play against, and overall a more enjoyable product. If you've not checked any of the number of exclusive interviews Dan Rusinowski did with many members of the San Jose Sharks over the course of the first couple of days of training camp, be sure to check that out on the Sharks Audio Network On Demand podcast. That's where all of our content is now being hosted. We realize that some of you had said there were too many things to subscribe to. You can still subscribe to individual podcasts. If you just want to subscribe to Morning Tide, you can do that. If you just want to subscribe to The Undercurrent with Tara Sloan, you can do that. But everything is going to be in this one podcast, Sharks Audio Network On Demand. But Dan spoke with one of the most eloquent, interesting Sharks that I can remember, Nico Sturm. He gave some great insights on everything heading into this 2024-2025 season.
Another season and another opportunity for Nico Sturm to show why he's such an important member of the San Jose Sharks. Nico, what are your thoughts coming into training camp?
I think it's an exciting time. There's a good vibe around the rink. You can feel it. Two tough seasons for the team. And now we've got a lot of young, talented players, obviously starting with the first overall pick with Mac. And you can just feel a good energy around the rink, which is exciting not only for us, but I think also for the fans who've obviously been with us through these last 2 years. And we're excited for them that they have something positive to cheer for, hopefully in the future here.
Well, it's been a building program for the Sharks to obviously maneuver with the salary cap and also gain assets. Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith coming to town. But also something very important has been happening over the course of the last 6 to 8 months, and that is the Sharks have brought a couple of extra veterans to work with you, people like Cody Ceci, people like Tyler Toffoli, people like Alex Wenberg. What are your feelings about those guys coming in?
Yeah, I think it's when you construct a roster, very important to strike that balance between young, up-and-coming talent and experienced players. I think sometimes that's maybe the part that, you know, the fan or the more casual fan doesn't understand as much, is that you cannot only thrust like 19 and 20-year-olds in a lineup. You need to have older players, veteran players that have played, hundreds of games, have played in playoffs, have maybe won cups. You need to inject those players in the lineup and teach the young guys, not so much, you know, only on the ice and the skill and the shot. They have all that, the tools already, and it's much more about how are you being a pro, how do you handle an 82-game season, and how do you do it on a day-by-day basis, not only in October and November, but in February, in March, when it's tough, when the body hurts, and how do you conduct yourself then? I think that's important. I think management has done a really nice job with that this summer of constructing the roster this way.
What do you make of the adjustment that we're going to see Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith go through? You did it. You played college hockey at Clarkson, and then you went to the 82-game schedule. They're trying to do it this year.
Yeah, and not only are they trying to do that, obviously there's a ton of pressure on them. I think they know that, which is maybe something, you know, a little different from the experience that I've had. You know, I don't know what it's like being a first overall pick or an early pick since I was never drafted. So I don't really know what it's like to have that type of pressure on me, but that's what we're here for. That's what the older guys are here for. The biggest thing for us is that, you know, as an older player, I want them to feel comfortable every day. I want them to come to the ring, be themselves, not walk on eggshells, joke around with the guys, and just enjoy the game, the actual game of hockey itself, and enjoy their rookie season. You only have one rookie season, and hopefully in the next couple of, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, all the media stuff and all the interviews, and hopefully we can get that done and then have them just focus on the actual hockey itself, and I want them to have fun. That's the biggest thing for me.
What about the advantages they both have in that Will is going to live with Patrick Marleau and Macklin's going to live with Joel Thornton? I mean, having those guys around.
I think two pretty good guys to learn from. And like you just said, making the jump from college hockey to pro hockey is hard. In college, you maybe play, I don't know, 45, 50 games if you get lucky and play in the NCAA tournament. And all of a sudden you play, you know, 82 games plus maybe another 3-4 in the preseason. So it's much different in college hockey. You play every Friday night and Saturday night, and you have the whole week to recover and plan and work out. And now you play a very unstructured schedule. You might play 3 and 4 nights. You cross time zones every day. Then you might have 5 days off all of a sudden. So it's very different. And like I said, there's probably, my experience was that it's like a little bit of a honeymoon phase almost at the start. You're very excited. Your body feels good. Everything's new, all these road trips, the hotels, the cities. And then, you know, once Christmas or the New Year rolls around, the schedule kind of gets to you a little bit, which is completely normal. Like I said, you're not, your body's not used to that. And that's hopefully where guys like, you know, like Goody, me, Granny, or the older guys, Connie, come into place. And yeah, just show them the way it's done.
You didn't get a chance to play in your home country when the Sharks went to Berlin because you were injured. But you did play in the Czech Republic just a little bit after that. But what about representing your country in the World Championships this most recent summer? What was that experience like? And tell us about it.
Yeah, it was second World Championships for me. Always exciting to see some of the guys that I don't get to see throughout the whole year. Obviously, since Timo's gone, I haven't spoken any German here as well. So it's kind of nice to, you know, joke around with the guys that I don't see the whole year. And hockey-wise, I think, you know, we've been having an exciting team the last couple of years. Obviously, everybody's gearing up now for the Olympics in 2026, where everybody wants to perform well. So the tournament was stacked. And I think all the teams were, roster-wise, much improved over the last year. Everybody's bringing their stars now as well. And it's a different kind of hockey. It's just, it's 2, 3, or 4 weeks that you're with the team. You don't have a lot of time to, you know, talk about tactics. It's all about bringing the team together in a short period of time. And for me, I always use this tournament to maybe get away from my routines a little bit that I'm so stuck with for 7 or 8 months, and to just enjoy the game of hockey. That's what I try to use this tournament for. Enjoy the actual game itself. And like I said, we had a tough loss to quarterfinals to Switzerland. I'm always excited to play for Team Germany.
And aside from that, what'd you do all summer?
Yeah, so after Worlds were done, myself and my two best friends, we went on a little vacation in the Dominican Republic. So we spent two nice relaxing weeks there. And then I was in Minnesota most of the summer, where my fiance Taylor and I have bought a home last winter. So plenty of stuff to do around the house there all summer. Worked out and skated there. Spent also a little bit of time in Germany, about a month, with family, parents, grandparents. And so half Minnesota, half Germany, that was my summer. A little bit of travel, and now I'm back here.
Well, the joys of home ownership and the joys of playing hockey. We're really glad to have you. We're really excited about the coming season. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're really excited for preseason game number one with Dan Rusinowski on the other side. San Jose Sharks host the Vegas Golden Knights up next.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yannick.